Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, BT and Sal back on the Fan 103, day before the start of the baseball season. Also, looks like Mitchell Robinson is definitely going to play tonight. So that is good news. I mean, listen, we're waiting on the Randall stuff here, but to get Mitch back and hopefully OG back, you know, this could be a really fun spring. It's obviously very early. Baseball season hasn't started here yet. But, you know, the Yankees with the offense, the Mets, a little more juice with the J.D. Martinez pickup, even though he's not going to play for the first couple games, got to get some reps and get his legs under him. But there's an energy now that I think hopefully is going to sustain itself, because the Knicks are getting a little healthier. The Rangers look really, really good. So these next couple of months, Al, we could be in a treat going into the summer.
I can't wait.
I mean, draft with the Jets and the Giants.
As much as we talk about, and look, there are negatives to everything, whether it's the Mets, whether it's the Yankees, whether it's the Giants and Jets with the draft, this is now, again, to me, the second fun time of the sports calendar, where the best time of the year for me is September. You start to get into postseason with baseball, the beginning of football, but this is right there with it. You know, opening day for baseball, you know what's ahead. The thing I used to say always, BT.
What's that?
Is that, first of all, baseball is my first love.
Me
but the
too.
Reason why, 100%. The reason why I love opening day more than anything else is because it's the beginning of a relationship that is with you every single night for the next 6 months. Football, week to week. Mm-hmm. Basketball, hockey, schedule is a little bit different. Baseball, for the most part, especially with the two teams,
well said.
You've got games every night for 6 months.
Yep, yep.
Takes you right, you know, start the spring, right through the summer, right into the fall, into the postseason. I love it.
You know, and really, if you think about from your early childhood, again, well said. That I can, as you're saying that, I'm nodding my head. I'm like, oh, God, he's absolutely right with that. So when you're a young kid, I remember I got one of those games from Santa. Remember those? This is how long ago it was. The metal boar, I forget what it's called, but you have those little figures.
The baseball or the football?
Football.
Okay.
And, like, back then it was so cutting edge. In hindsight, because I've seen them now, there's, like, the retro games. It's so boring. These little things just zap around. They don't even do anything. You can't throw them the ball. It's a complete bore fest. But back then it was awesome. But my point is, when I got that, I probably was about 7 or 8 years old, and I tried to understand football. Like, it was very complex. Offense, defense, blitzes, punts, sacks, like, penalties. Like, there was just a lot to digest. And I think the reason why, like you, Sal, certainly my first love was always baseball, and certainly was at that point and will remain that, is because my dad passed it down, like you got it from your uncles and your family as well, and a lot of young boys and girls do too. But you can understand it, even though it's the hardest thing to do, barrel up a baseball that's going 98, that's moving 6, 7, 8, 9 inches, exploding at the last second, a slider or a darting changeup or an elevated fastball, whatever it might be. That's hard. But just understanding the game, see the ball, hit the ball, run, catch it, throw, it's actually fairly simple.
And we were talking about this actually before we got going, as we got here early, checking out the studios, MLB Park, all that stuff, and I was trying to figure out why baseball is my first love. Aside from the obvious, like now it's easy to look and say, yeah, well, I love the sport, it's fun, I love the Mets growing up, there was the Mets and Yankees dynamic, whatever, but maybe it was Little League, because everybody played Little League for the most part.
Especially then.
Right.
Everybody.
Right, so you, but not everybody played, like, I didn't play football or basketball.
Yeah, I only played football. baseball for 2 years.
Yeah, so everybody, though, played Little League, and maybe that's what drew me more to it. And really, I don't know. The baseball cards, though, you know, wasn't football cards to me weren't a thing. Basketball cards weren't a thing. Baseball cards were the thing. So it's all-encompassing. I love baseball. I love the baseball season. I love that this is a baseball town. Two teams, hopefully both good teams, that at least give us the entire season, unlike last year. But I can't wait to get started.
And I can't wait to do it together. BT and Sal, first baseball season. You know, obviously we joined up late in the summer last year, which was great for football. But it's go time with baseball. 877-337-6666. Again, massive thanks to MLB Network. We're in Studio 42. And we've been here all day, and of course, they are going to be all over it, beginning live coverage tomorrow at 9 a.m. It starts early, 9 a.m. for the opening day stuff with a showcase telecast, Dodgers and the Cardinals at 4 p.m. So we are here. All right, let's get to you. How about Ray in Waterbury, Connecticut? Ray, BT and Sal, what's going on, buddy?
Hi, guys. Great show as usual. Great, especially great show today, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate that, Ray.
About the offseason, I think... First of all, I think the Yankees, Sal's right. They didn't go all in. I think the luxury tax, they should have definitely gone after Montgomery. I mean, they needed him. And what Arizona paid, they could have handled that. The bottom line is they're not all in because of the salary tax. And one other thing, guys, the more money they spend out, it's less money they have for Soto next year. And they know they're going to get their hands full against the Mets. Because
Yes. And by the way, not just the Mets there, right? I didn't mean to jump. I thought you were done. Thank you for the call. Yeah, the Yanks will have their hands full, you know, fending off the Mets. And I don't think that I never rule out the Dodgers, but I don't think the Dodgers will jump in. Who knows? Honestly, maybe Orioles' new ownership says, yo, I mean, you know, assuming the Orioles are good again this year, which they should be with that bevy of young ascending talent, you know, it's incredible. So maybe they look at him and the new ownership says, okay, this is our first big splash and he's our three hitter or two hitter for the next 7, 8, 9 years. We got all these young studs around him, so we're good to go. Maybe the Orioles go nuts. Toronto's got a boatload of money. They were trying to get Ohtani there over the winter. So, you know, the Rogers, they're actually wealthier than Steve Cohen. A lot of people don't know that. They're worth more than Cohen.
Well, I don't want to believe that.
No, but it's true. I mean,
maybe they are, but they're not kings.
Well, yeah, I got you. But the point is.
Guess what I'm coming in wearing tomorrow, by
the
way.
No, you're not.
Oh,
no,
baby.
No, you're not.
No.
There's
but
no
I
way
want
you're
to.
Doing that. But the point is, the Mets will push for Soto, as will everybody else. But I do not believe, and maybe I'm wrong. Sal, you tell me if I think this is naive. Honestly, I know you will. If I'm off base, we could debate whether or not they went all in, 90% in, 80%. That's fine. I do not think for a second that some of these moves that they have not made this year, a Montgomery, a Snell, a Bellinger earlier in the winter, whatever, a Chapman to play the. Were not made because they are saving their pennies for Soto. I think they are two very independent things. You agree or no?
Interesting. So you're saying that do I think that these moves that they didn't make are because they're trying to save up for Soto?
Well, that's what the caller last said, which I refute. I don't think that they didn't give Jordan Montgomery $25 million this year, which is 50 with the, you know, on the
no, they
on
did,
the dollar
they
dollar
did
thing.
Offer Snell 150. They did offer Yamamoto 300, so that doesn't really make sense then.
That's what I'm
that
saying.
Regard.
So you're with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
begrudgingly,
but I also don't think, no, it's not even that. It's just I'm trying to make sense of what the Yankees have done here. Because to me, it doesn't add up. They say all in, and I respect that. They go get Juan Soto. I respect that. I love that. They get Verdugo. They then pivot from Yamamoto to Snell to Stroman. That's not enough for me. And then we hear about the luxury tax threshold, and we see the Yankees not going all in. And I know that the Yankees have done this before, whether it's at the trade deadline, not wanting to give up that prospect, or in this particular year, not wanting to give up your boy. What the hell is his name? Why am I blanking?
Spencer Jones.
They're not wanting to give up Spencer
Next
Jones.
That's Yankee great.
Right. They don't want to give up Spencer Jones for Corbin Burns, or they didn't want to give up Anthony Volpe for Luis Castillo years ago. That's not all in. I respect it. I understand it, but those moves aren't all in, and they have continued to operate like that, where it's not all in, where any one of those moves could have made it all in to me. So I'm not sure what they're doing. Soto is an all in move. Soto for 1 year is even more all in. The other moves don't match that.
Well, I here's what they're doing. They're trying to work around some very bad decisions by Brian Cashman.
But that's
what they're doing.
Yeah, okay, but that's a problem.
No, it could be, but I don't think it'll be a problem this year. It was a problem last year, even though they spent $160 on Rodon. That's all they did. Like, they left, you know, there was a vacancy in catcher, there was a vacancy in left field, they just had a, they've had bad problems that they didn't address. I think the presence, and this is not to leave it all at his doorstep, DJ LeMahieu, Giancarlo Stanton, lesser extent Rizzo, where the Yankees could opt out and pay him $6 or $7 million to disappear after the season from a team perspective, team controllability. Like, because Cashman, even Aaron Hicks, made this 6 or 7 year deal and six with LeMahieu and picking up the length on Stanton's deal, it's precluded them from doing things that would have made them a championship team, like Bryce Harper, maybe like some other things this offseason. So I do think that they've straddled the fence of, at least for now, navigating what remains and pushing forward with the team that I think is going to really, really be powerful offensively. How about Tommy's in Monroe Township, BT and Sal. What's up, Tommy? Tommy, how you doing today, pal? What's going on? All right. Tommy is a little light Tommy's there with the syllables. How about somebody said that they knew, was that guy still? No. How about Nick down in St. Augustine, Florida on the Free Odyssey app? By the way, if you missed the Al Leiter interview, anything in the last hour, just go back to the app and hit a rewind and get up to speed. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, guys. Love your show. Best since Mike and the Mayor Dog. Great. Hey, the term all in is like a poker term. You know, you take all your chips, all your money, you push it into the middle. The Mets did that last year by signing another 40-year-old pitcher to $43 million, 2 years. That's all in. The Mets went all in last year. The Yankees this year.
You mean 2 years ago. You mean 2 years ago with the Mets, right?
Well, no, last year, too. And remember, well, they tried to get Correa.
I just want to make sure we're talking about the same season. Yeah. Got you. Go ahead. Well, all right, go ahead.
And they came off the 101-win season, and they said, we got to do a little more. They went above and beyond, spent $380 million, got crushed in luxury tax, and went got a 40-year-old pitcher because they thought maybe one more year, and we'll get that championship.
Well, now, hold on, Nick. I have a question for you. So, so we're debating the absolute definition of all-in, which I believe is very – not in poker, it's not subjective. Literally, when you push every chip in the middle, you're all-in. It's a little tougher to interpret with baseball, so I mean, at least that's how I see it. So you think that the Mets went all-in last year. Who was their DH?
Well, it was not really a DH.
Well, they didn't go all in. That's the point.
Well, tell me the DH that was out there last year that they could have got.
Right. They did go try to get Carlos Correa, and thank you for the call.
I know they did.
They're all in. Thanks, look at the payroll, highest payroll in the sport. Like, obviously, it didn't work out. Going all in doesn't mean you're going to win. It's not guaranteed. But the Mets went, especially when Cohen showed that he was willing to go to the extent of Carlos Correa, that to me was like, oh, okay, this is above and beyond. Now, obviously, it didn't work out.
You think the Mets went all in when they won 101 games a couple of years ago? If Darren Ruff and Vogelback constitutes all in, then I have no idea what the definition of all in is.
I don't think they went all in at the deadline,
Fair enough.
I think that's something that Billy Epler's got to live with,
Fair enough.
They made a mistake there.
Right.
Now remember, J.D. Martinez at the time wasn't good. He wasn't playing well with Boston.
He was a little
down.
And
they wanted, I forget who the two players were. Somebody wrote about this in the Post, I think, this week. But anyway, no, I don't think they went all in at the deadline, and fans had a problem with that.
Okay. We were clamoring for more. They didn't give it to you. 877-337-6666. BT and Sound on the Fan Hop. What's going on, bud?
Just got an update.
On?
The Yankees made a trade.
Okay.
That's gonna be was it Gio? Who's playing third base? What third baseman did they get?
John Birdie.
John Birdie, what I can't do on a golf course, get a birdie. Who the hell's John Birdie?
He's a utility guy.
But what's your handicap?
Well, in a meandering 2.5 minute soliloquy about what I shoot on the golf course, I never even gave the answer. John Birdie.
Yeah.
Can you give me how old is he?
34-year-old third baseman.
Ugh, he stinks.
He had 294 last year.
Wait, 294?
He probably played like 10 games.
Well, give me some stats.
Hold on.
He was more of a mainstay a couple of years ago. He was more active a couple of years ago.
With
last
who?
Year. With the Marlins.
Marlins.
Oh, that's right.
He had 388 at bats last year. Oh, John Birdie.
John Birdie.
Billy Birdie. Oh, I know who you're talking about now.
Samsonite. Oh, Alberto. Alberto Albuquerque.
Can he pick it? Can he spin it over
so
from the hot
court? He had 294 in 380. In
what's his OPS, Al?
I can't even get that up.
Okay. What's his average exit velo?
What's his
whiff rate?
Why can't I do this?
What's his chase rate?
I'm looking on my phone here, so it's not the best stats.
What percentile is he in? Is he in sprint speed,
all right,
Al?
So
I need more updated analytics.
133 games played, 388 at bats. He had 294. That's all you need to know.
What's his OPS? I do need to know his OPS.
I'm
all joking
that.
Around.
I don't have
his OPS.
I just told you. I'm on my phone. Give me a second.
He's got 23 career home runs.
748.
748. Okay. That's not good enough. I rescind the trade. Oh, they gave up what? They gave up nobody, obviously.
All in, Josh Birdie.
All in. It's a cosmetic move.
Excuse me, John Birdie.
Hey, yeah. Let me tell you something. As much as we can laugh about John Birdie being this anonymous figure for most of us here, Yankees brought in a ton of guys over the years that everybody laughed at. Andy Fox being a pinch runner, Mariano Duncan, Charlie Hayes playing third base. Laugh now, Sal.
Scotty Brosius,
who hit 199 the year before and then a couple of years after they got him, was the MVP in the World Series. Laugh now, Sal.
Yeah, Louis Soho, I know.
There's a base hit to left field. All right, there we go. So you know where I'm going.
Yeah, all right. Birdie's going to be the next superstar,
Mock now and feel the pain later.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Okay, I can't wait.
All right, BT and Sal.
I think he's batting leadoff opening day. John Birdie.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call of the day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right, it is the call of the day here, brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely, choose Ramsey Mazda. Usually we just find a moment from the show where we usually when we're berating somebody or mocking somebody, and we have a little fun with that. We're not going to berate this guy. He's got a boxing background. He might knock us around.
Good point.
But he is known as a baseball, maybe one of the most numbers-oriented guy in terms of, like, everybody was a little slow to the analytical party. Brian Kenny, I don't know if you were first at the table, but you were pretty close to being first.
Early adopter.
Yeah, you
go. Is that right? Right. Reading the Bill James stuff early.
Yes.
And good to see you guys, by the way.
What's going on,
buddy? You guys are great. I talked to you before. You guys still bring it, and that's few and far between these days. So I like, you know, you can be opinionated without being labeled abrasive. You guys, you got to be opinionated. So anyway, yeah, I got. By the time I get on Baseball Tonight in the late 90s on ESPN, and I'm talking slugging percentage, and I'm talking total player rating, and all these things, and people like branded me a heretic. Like, what are you doing? What's wrong with batting average? And I'm like, no, there's a new way to examine the game. Anyway, you know, all these years later, now it is swept through the game, and it's still. There's a cultural divide, but the game itself, I think, is even more fascinating the way it's being examined today in the age of baseball ops.
Curious, though. So to have that part of the brain that thinks that way, as yours has for a long time, did you adopt that as a kid? You're collecting baseball cards, watching the game.
I'm looking at batting average, and until the late 80s when this stuff was being written about. But again, I'm following baseball, and again, every Sunday I'm looking at Newsday and where's Roy White and the batting averages.
Yeah,
you look,
I used to do
you
that
each
too.
You know, once a week you could see where they were, and I wanted to see where the Yankees were and where Thurman Munson was and everything else. So yeah, you follow batting average, RBIs, and home runs and all that, and so it was a natural extension to say, hey, by the way, slugging percentage is a better batting average, total bases and divided by the bats. So why wouldn't you look at that? So I'm always looking at a better way of seeing, like, hey, who are the best players? How do you rank the players? How do you compare them? We were doing that as kids. We just have better tools now.
Yes. Some of my favorite stuff is watching you and Mad Dog go at it.
Yeah.
Because Dog, to me, is more of my mindset of that. Watch the games with your eyes, you know, and you're the stat guy, and I love you guys sparring, going back and forth with each other. Do you think the game has gone too far the other way with data and analytics?
You know, I've always heard that, and I always, like, you've got to be kidding me. And now I would say, it can happen. It can definitely happen. I didn't see the current wave happening the way it has, where even last year you heard Brian Cashman talking about, like, you know, hey, people are saying we're too analytic. We're not. But in a way, I'm looking at his players as like, no, you've become analytic robots.
Right.
And a lot of ways. And I didn't foresee that happening. You can get bogged down. The best teams utilize, and this sounds trite, but like a mix of things. Look, data is a reflection, an abstraction of the real world, but it's not the real world. And I would put it this way. There are still so many things we don't understand, so many things that are difficult to quantify. Keep your eyes open for evidence. The evidence might be numbers, but it might not be. And so, like, a lot of times Dog and I don't disagree on things. We'll say, hey, this guy is a good playoff player. This guy's tough. This guy's reliable. A lot of times we lack the language to back that up, but there's something to, like, everything was always explained when I was a kid and when I was, you know, even coming up through the, you know, broadcasting. Everything was explained with clubhouse chemistry. Mm. I just think that was too broad a statement. I think there are specific things. If we learn nothing last year, we learn that there are things that, as a team dynamic, we don't quite understand. We saw it with the Mets, with the Padres, with the Cardinals collapsing, mm-hmm. being terrible when they should have been good, when the Mets were so on point the year before with Buck Showalter, and now the attention to detail was gone, and they just look like a completely different team.
What do you think, this could be really interesting, based on the numbers and based on the projections and some trends that are not favorable to the player that I'm going to bring up, not necessarily him, but a de-emphasis with certain things in baseball. Pete Alonso, masher, preeminent home run hitter, phenomenal, 30, slow-footed, righty first baseman. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen the goals.
The type of guy Sabermetrics hates.
Hates. Right. Precisely. What kind of contract do you think
and,
he's looking at?
Well, yeah. Well, he's going to be difficult to quantify, because if you look at just his like his triple slash line, what's his batting average on base and slugging? That tells you an awful lot. Mm. And if his batting average was very low, on base is okay. And even his slugging was like .514, right around there last year. That's not overly impressive. And yet, look at his total bases. And again, just expand beyond, like, oh, okay, these are my normal analytic numbers. There's something about he's in the lineup a ton. He is averaging over 300 total bases a year. That has value. So there are guys like that. Paul Konerko was a guy like that.
That's a good one.
Garrett Anderson was a guy like that. So guys who play 158 and fill the box, I think it's almost undervalued out there. And that's why I look at a very old school stat. What are your total bases? Total bases plus walks. How much volume are you bringing? So actually, Pete Alonso is a very valuable guy when you look at the volume of his production.
You know, I'm not opposed to the data and analytics. Obviously, you can't be. Otherwise, you'd be an idiot. By the way, we're talking with Brian Kenny, host of MLB Now, weekdays at 12 p.m. here on MLB Network. We're live here from the beautiful studios. This is heaven on earth for me, for baseball fans. But I don't like it when it shows its impact on the field. So if you want to use it, not you specifically, Brian, but if teams want to use it to help them better evaluate players, sure. But when you start talking about the launch angle and strikeouts not mattering, that hurts the appeal of the game. And I know baseball, to their credit, has now changed some rules to where they try to make the game go back to stolen bases, where stolen bases, I guess, in analytics world is a useless thing.
Now you get caught a lot. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
well,
it was overrated back in the day.
Right. So now it's becoming more of a thing. So how do teams get smart to where they implement all the data and analytics and the information, but yet not have it impact the game as much in a negative way?
Well, look, there's a lot of things there. One, you know who's really into analytics now? The players. They want all this information because these are the tools of their trade. So you talk about launch angle, and the risk reward hard swing that you do, and spin rate, all these different things, and exit velocity, and your barrel rate. The players are hip to this. They speak that language because they're incentivized to know this. This is their art. This is their craft. The other thing that you're saying is, there is a difference between doing what is best for your team and what is best for the game of baseball.
Right.
But if you're running the Mets, the Yankees, or the Royals, it's not your job to make baseball entertaining. That's the league's job.
So they got
to
figure that out.
Your job is to, like, if you're saying, hey, we're going to swing for the fences and we want to have an all, you guys know this, an Adam Dunn style, right? Is that the most aesthetically pleasing? No. But if it wins, it would behoove you to play that style.
Adam Dunn, Richie Sexton, guys.
Yeah,
like that.
Home runs and walks. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But I also, as I'll point out, I didn't foresee that the entire league would be playing that game.
I got you.
I used to say Adam Dunn's a very valuable guy, but I didn't want the whole league to be Joey Gallo. I didn't want that.
It's true. It's Brian Kenny with us here, BT and Sal. On the Fan, we are at the studios today, which has been a great treat for us, as Sal said. MLB Network live coverage beginning tomorrow at 9 for opening day, and the showcase telecast Dodgers and the Cardinals at 4. All right, Brian, forget about the numbers, though. I'm sure you'll incorporate this to get to your answer on some level. You've got one game to win. You've got one pitcher to give the baseball to. Pedro, Seaver, Cy Young, Warren Spahn, Bob. Like, where do you go? Who are you giving that baseball to? Must win.
You mean like one? Well, if I could pick one season. Well, I'll just go out. I did a thing in our Top 10 Right Now series. We rank all the players by position, Top 10 Right Now. And this year we incorporated Top 10 not in the Hall of Fame, position by position. And one guy that...
I usually watch all these. This seems like a good one.
You'd love this. It's right up your alley because, again, I'm getting in players like if it's... Like at number 10 in right field, I think I had Tim Salmon versus Daryl Strawberry. It's a real match.
Mattingly better be high. And same with Keith Hernandez. Where are we at?
Mattingly and Hernandez are in my top 3 or 5. I think I had Mattingly number 1 because I love Mattingly. Like, and there's reason I could do a half hour on Mattingly if you want.
I could do 2 hours.
Dick Allen is there too.
Oh, Phillies, yeah.
And Keith Hernandez, right? Those are the guys. They should. Those guys are Hall of Famers.
Okay.
And I always hear about people say, "Well, but he didn't do it long enough." And I always say, "Who says?" Like what you say. Like if you're a baseball writer, I'm a peak guy. Mattingly, Dale Murphy should be in the Hall of Fame. Keith Hernandez, the best ever field at the position. 7 out of 8 years, he's top 3 in on base percentage. And before we properly valued on base, it's in my book. I wrote a book.
And he won the MVP, by the way, in 79.
Guy's a marvelous player. Yep. Baseball awareness skills. A lot of the things we don't quite measure. He was off the charts. What was your question?
One pitcher.
Oral Hershiser.
Wow. In one big game? What, because of the 55 scoreless innings, whatever it was?
If you look through the game, with the exception of maybe some insane Christy Mathison, Walter Johnson, old-timey, when the game was still not in an infancy, but it hadn't fully matured, with the exception of that, you would want Oral Hershiser's 1988 over any other player.
Better than Bob Gibson's 68 season?
Yeah,
where they wound up lowering the mound?
85.
Really?
And also, he went through the playoffs eliminated the Mets, came on in a relief appearance. He was sensational.
Pedro.
Well, Pedro's 99 and 2000 are the greatest of all
against
time.
Against steroid
too.
Guys.
But in the toughest division.
Yep.
And yet I've never seen, like Ron Guidry's 1978. He also had in August and September. Take a look at the line score pitch game by game, Guidry down the stretch when they were hunting down the Red Sox.
Yes.
But I Oral Hershiser is a strong Hall of Fame candidate.
Didn't expect that
and
answer.
You might say he's like the ultimate weapon for one season.
I'd rather have that. We're talking with Brian Kenny here live at the MLB Network, host of MLB Now, weekdays 12 p.m. I'd rather have Mattingly, Hershiser, peak guys in than the compilers. And not
like
to disrespect.
Craig Biggio?
Well, not even Biggio.
Harold Baines,
even Scott Rolen. I know Rolen's a great player, but when I watch him, I didn't think he was a great player.
That's always my point in that I'm always told, oh, Murphy, oh, Mattingly. And it's like, wait, these guys weren't good. They were great. They're better than most of the guys you're talking about. Actually, Mattingly and Murphy, if you get their X amount of years, now it might be 4 years, it might be 6, it might be 8, but these guys were the best guys in their league for a 2 to 3 year period. And everyone says, well, what are you going to do, put every player that you can say that about in the Hall of Fame? And my answer is yes. There's not that many of them.
No, there's not.
And the guys that you can say at any point were the best in their league for 3 to 4 year period, they're already in the Hall of Fame.
Those guys are more Hall of Fame worthy to me
yes.
than a guy who puts up numbers for 10, maybe
right.
15 years, whatever, but does it like at a mid level.
And I think what, you know what the magic of Mattingly is to get into the weeds on that?
Oh, let's go. Let's go weed seeking. I'm all in.
It's
go.
It's that his batting average was absurdly high. His strikeout rate was absurdly low.
Yep.
Guys, Brendan, he struck out like 35, 40 times a season.
I know.
While slugging .550, he was Tony Gwynn. With the batting
with
average
pop.
And the contact.
Yep.
He was Tony Gwynn with 100 more points in slugging. That's why guys our age talk Mattingly like we can't, like this guy was a god.
Yeah.
The reason why he's spoken about, and people talk and they're awestruck. You know how many times I'm listening to a game on the national level and there'll be someone saying, you know who meant the world to me when I first entered a major league clubhouse? It was Don Mattingly. Everyone's
yeah.
like, all right, we have all these stories. And when Mattingly was on that veterans committee, right, that Fred McGriff got in.
Of course.
That was great. That was a great call. Fred
yep.
McGriff has to be in.
Yep.
But
long overdue.
The thought of, like, Mattingly and Murphy being on that stage in Cooperstown just, like, filled me with delight. Like, why wouldn't we want to see that? Wouldn't that make you feel good about baseball?
Ugh.
Instead of thinking about what steroid guys should be in, should we ignore that?
Yep.
How about rewarding excellence? How about feeling good about baseball and your memories about baseball? Dale Murphy and Don Mattingly on that stage in Cooperstown was fantastic. The best possible scenario.
As long as you
right.
put Keith in as well. If Mattingly's
we'll
going
Keith
in, Keith's got to be
Keith's
in.
Going. Again, I wrote, it was 7 years ago, I wrote Ahead of the Curve, and I had a Hall of Fame chapter. In it, I put in where the baseball writers as voters have failed. Because the one advantage they have, they're supposed to have, is that they watch the games. That's what Mad Dog says.
Not just
watch
looking
the
up,
games.
Watch the games.
Get away from, get your head out of the stat book. Watch the games. And I pointed out guys like Alan Trammell and Keith Hernandez saying, if you watch the games, they're better than you think. They get the more you watch them, the more you go, oh, God, that guy's better than his numbers. I know. And Keith Hernandez is sitting, you know, 310 with a 400
clutch.
On base. But he's actually, right, and he's commanding the field.
No question.
Nobody could bunt on them.
Nope.
You couldn't advance base runners on him. He's better. Like, all those little things that we talk about are actually big things. So when you watch them, those guys are better than you think.
Especially then when they were dropping down bunts and they were, it was a totally
balls
different
in
game
play.
In terms
a
of
ton.
Speed, balls
exactly.
in play, a lot more contact. Listen, Bri, we're breaking only because we have to. Really, you came by to say hi when we got here this morning setting up shop. Thanks for rolling back. I know you have a busy day tomorrow and obviously the start of the season. Fantastic job. Really good hanging with you for
you
a little.
Guys
thank
are great.
You,
that's great. We'll do it again. Peak Hall of Famers. Stay on it.
We're on it.
We're going to be seeing you every day. I'm telling everybody. We got the BT and South Simulcast. What do you guys think I'm kidding? BT and South Simulcast.
And you do the master ceremonies for the Hall of Fame, which is tremendous.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it would definitely, at the very least, have you on during the Hall of Fame ceremony or something next week.
We'll do it.
Or next season.
We'll do it.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
There you go. Brian Kenny, of course. Ben Rortvedt has been dealt. That's what I'm hearing here to the Tampa Rays. You know why they did that? Because they know Austin Wells is going to mash 18, 20 home runs this year. That's why he's expendable. 8-7, Ben Rortvedt. All right, BT and Sal back here on The Fan. It has been an awesome day. And listen, selfishly, we've just, it's been a baseball heaven since the moment we got here at about 8:30 in Secaucus, the beautiful MLB Network studios. We're in Jackie Robinson Studio, Studio 42. The baseball season is upon us. Keith Hernandez, by the way, tomorrow. All right, Huff.
What?
Where's Mattingly?
Keith is coming on.
Where's
I love
Mattingly?
It. No.
What do you mean? What are you making
it's
that face
Keith
for?
Day.
Where's Mattingly?
Isn't he coaching?
Yeah, he's coaching.
Well,
he's
so
not.
What?
No, this is SNY.
Well, he's Keith's working. He's not busy.
He's working for us. He's working for the Mets. The Mets fans.
That's a good get. I'm looking forward to talking a little shop with your boy Keith, man.
I'm
number
excited.
17.
You know, I've never had Keith on.
What?
Yeah, I know. Well,
really?
He's like, what do you think? He's coming on the overnight? I mean, what am I supposed to have him on?
Well, I thought maybe on baseball night in New York. I don't know. The home of the Mets on TV. You
no,
had him on.
I don't even think I've had Ronnie on.
Yeah.
I don't even think I've met him once. It's one of those awkward things with Keith, like, you know, because I've worked at SNY for like 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
and he still doesn't know who
you
are.
Yeah, exactly. And every time I meet him, which is very, like, maybe once I've seen him in studio,
okay.
I'm like, oh, hey, I'm Sal. And, like, at first he has no idea. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I watch the show. And I'm like,
You know.
I don't think he knows who. He has no idea.
It's like, you know, sometimes when somebody says, oh, dude, I'm a big fan, they call you Brian Tierney. Or. Yeah, I know what you're. Or they call you Craig Carton, or they call you
God.
Me, or
I got
like,
it.
Dude, stop! You're not
I was
really
going
fan,
into
it's okay.
I was going into the Garden for the Big East tournament to pick up credentials.
Yes.
And so it was like, oh, hey, you're Brandon Tierney. I was like, close.
Yeah. Felt pretty good for a little bit, didn't it?
I was like, I'm much, much shorter.
Yeah. Hey, all right, you know what? We're breaking rules. Give me the pat. What year is this here? This is 84. All right,
forget about this
nasty-ass gum. All right, I'm going to split this in half. Nope, you're going to take some. I'm not even looking, so who knows what's happening. Yeah. You take these. I got these. Let's go. A little impromptu BT and Sal baseball card World Series.
Tom Brunansky,
Minnesota Twins, yes. Third baseman. Let's go.
Jim Dwyer.
Jim Dwyer was a catcher, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe. I might be. Pirates?
No, okay. Orioles.
Catcher?
Outfielder.
Oh, all right.
John Moses.
John Moses.
84 is not a good year for me.
No, it's not a good year for me either. I don't know this one.
Mariners.
I didn't even guess,
no,
dude.
You weren't going to get it. Ron Davis.
You're a jerk. Ron Davis was with the White Sox at this point.
Twins. That's Ike's father, right? Yes, Ron Davis.
I'm thinking, you know who I'm thinking? I'm out of whack.
That's all right.
I was thinking Ron Kittle.
Tom Gorman.
Ron Davis was the setup man to Goose Gossage, by the way.
Tom Gorman.
I should have known that. Pitcher. Maybe with the Mets at this point.
Correct.
Let's go, baby.
Joe Beckwith.
Pitcher.
Yeah.
Seattle? Padres.
Dodgers. Oh. Terry Kennedy.
Catcher.
Yes.
Padres.
Yes. Dave Winfield.
Winnie. My man Winnie. Yankees.
Yes. That's a nice card.
I actually have that card.
Mike Brown.
Mm.
I think we just had this with Harold.
We did. But Seattle, if I'm not mistaken.
This was 84, so he was with, at this point, Boston.
Oh, Red Sox. All right, ready, Sam?
Yeah, go ahead.
Alan Bannister.
Pitcher.
No.
Really?
You're thinking Floyd Bannister, I think.
Maybe. I was going to say Padres.
No, Indians. 0-1. Right. Frank Tanata.
84 tops?
Yeah, what position? Let's start with that.
Pitcher.
Okay, lefty or righty?
Yeah, lefty
or righty.
Lefty pitcher.
Attaboy.
Tigers?
No, Rangers. Frank Tanana actually used to throw gas, and then he hurt his shoulder, came back as a nibble the corner kind of guy. Bud Anderson.
No idea. Never heard of him.
Looks like he should be cutting down trees. I mean, this guy looks like an absolute masher, although he wasn't. He was a pitcher for the Indians. Floyd Rayford. You got to get one right here, dude. Come on.
I got one.
Gorman Thomas. You should know that name.
I don't know.
He was a center fielder at this point, the Indians. We got to go. Thank you so much to MLB Network. It has been an honor. We have had a blast. Yanks, Mets, we're back tomorrow. Sal, great stuff today, dude.
All right, that was a lot of fun, man. Can't wait for opening day tomorrow.
Well, enjoy opening day because it only goes downhill from there for the Mets.
Yeah. All right.
Woo! See you tomorrow. BT and Sal, thank you again, MLB Network. Awesome stuff.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.